Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see y'all this morning. Well, we begin our service this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins and God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my iniquities unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells in you.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. You make known to me the path of life. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity and the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundation of the thresholds shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join in the gradual. To the Lord and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. The second reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it came from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. We join this morning in confessing our most holy faith using the Athanasian Creed. So on page 319 in your hymnals, we will confess this responsively, verse by verse. I'll start it off, and then you'll know what to do beyond that. I'm sure we did it last year that way. So. 319. And I'll wait to make sure everyone has it. Three hundred Steve, you got 319? Down on the bottom, little old numbers. In the front. You good?
Yep.
All right. Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into the flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of the person.
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again.
ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. Okay, almost forgot to mention. All right, just a little direction on this hymn. One, this hymn is one of our ancient hymns. It is the text is from St. Patrick around the 4th century. The tune is not that old compared to that. Note this. That the first verse is only on page 604. When you finish that first verse, then you go back up to the top and begin verse 2, and then you move over for the rest of the verses to the opposite page. All right, you see that? Okay. Yeah, you got to start the next verses, so you got to come back to the beginning just as you started the second verse, so you need to start the third verse on that page and so forth. Okay?
And I will play the whole thing through, even though we don't sing it through the first verse, just so you know.
Thank you.
Christ, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let me just clear my throat. At least hopefully it will. Whenever we do the Athanasian Creed, I'd just like to mention, I mean, for anyone that gets nervous saying that word Catholic, that in the Creed it's a reference to the whole Christian church, not a denomination like the Roman Catholic Church. But we confess the Athanasian Creed. We hold to the three ancient creeds of the church. It's important that we do so, as that creed itself emphasized the need to hold this as being truth. And the truth of it is that we worship the Trinity in unity. The Trinity and God as being one. We don't worship three gods, we never have, and we never will. God is one. In our readings for this morning, we kind of see that demonstrated because throughout all of Scripture, if you were to look up the word, for instance, in a concordance, Trinity, you will discover that there is no such word in the Scriptures. But it is a way the church has described God to demonstrate God as being one yet three. Because we know in Scripture that God reveals himself in that way. We know that God has descended in the past, in the ancient times, as the Holy Spirit. We also know that the second person of this Holy Trinity has appeared through history and is often identified as the angel of the Lord, such as with Moses, and also Jacob, also with Isaiah. We see that the angel of the Lord at different times is present. We might even go to that old story in the Old Testament written about an incident that took place in which three young men were cast into the furnace because they refused to worship any other gods besides the true God. And you know who I'm talking about. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. I think I got those names right. But if you recall the story, that when the king looked and saw that the three men were standing in the middle of the fire and were not consumed, he asked the question, were not three thrown into the tomb? Who is this fourth person in there? So, I mean, the Trinity has always been. It's not a new idea in the church. It's just the way the church has had to deal with error that crept into the early church concerning who Christ is and also in terms of the Holy Spirit. There were some who denied the Trinity, and sadly there are some today who say they are Christian, and yet they deny the Trinity. That is not good. We hold to this as being the truth, since Christ himself speaks about it. He speaks about returning to the Father. He speaks to Nicodemus and others about his going and his coming. He speaks these words that no one has come down from heaven except no one has gone except he who is referring to himself. No one has come down from heaven except the Son of Man So that's a reference to himself. He says he goes back to the Father and he will send another, the Holy Spirit. So there are instances in Scripture we can look and we can say, yes, this is a truth that we speak when we say Trinity. That is a truth. And we hold fast to that truth because to do so or to deny the Trinity is to deny who God is. For Jesus has revealed to us who God is. He has revealed the Father to his disciples. So that when the disciples said, show us the Father, Jesus said, if you've known me, if you have seen me, then you know the Father. Jesus also says the words that he speaks are not his own words, but the words that the Father gives him to speak. Jesus also says to the disciples that the Holy Spirit will not be speaking on his own, but he will remind you of all that I have done and taught you. He brings the message again to you and to all others who are yet to hear this word. It is how God has provided for our salvation. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit created everything at the beginning. We hear it in the book of Genesis. Everything that was created was not excluding any part of the Trinity. The Son was there from the beginning as the Father was and as the Holy Spirit was. He wasn't incarnate yet, but nevertheless, his presence is there because he is also the Word of God, the Word that became flesh. This is a mystery to us. It is not something that is easy for us to explain. It is a statement of faith. We don't know how it is that it is this way, but we believe it is this way. And because we believe, we are reminded in the Athanasian Creed that all who hold this faith have eternal life. Because at the conclusion of the Athanasian Creed, when it speaks about all those who have done good will enter into heaven, whereas those who have not done good will go into hell. It is not talking works righteousness, but it is talking about a truth. Those who believe will produce good fruit. And even though you and I may fail at living up to the perfection that the law demands, yet it is because Christ who is in us, his perfection is credited to us as righteousness. What he has done for us, he continues to do in us. And so we can count on salvation. Even though we can look at our lives and say, well, I haven't yet measured up. I hope God gives me more time so that I can get it right. No, it will never happen in this life. For we are both sinful human beings, yet forgiven and made righteous according to the Spirit. So we are holy. We are a holy people. We are God's people. We are God's temple. We are living stones being built together as his body, the church. And we hold to this faith that God is Trinity and yet he is one. It's wonderful the passages we have for our Old Testament reading. Our second reading from the book of Acts, and also John's reading with Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. The Old Testament may seem kind of out of place, but not really when you consider the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells Nicodemus when he encounters Nicodemus that just as back in the days when they were in the wilderness and Moses was leading them, that those who were causing problems and were bit by the fiery serpents, that if they looked upon the bronze pole with the bronze snake on it, that they would be saved. And so it was. But Jesus says, just as that event occurred, so the Son of Man will be lifted up, and the same thing applies. All who look to Christ on the cross, crucified for us, are saved. Jesus points to his own work, but in this conversation, he also points to the work of the Holy Spirit when he goes into this whole story of why a man must be born again or he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus rightly speaks on worldly things, for flesh it gives birth to flesh. So how can it be that one can be born again? And Jesus corrects him. What he is talking about is a spiritual birth, a new birth, a new person. I know a lot of people when they probably, especially in the younger generation that likes playing the different computer games. One nice thing about it, especially if you like a first shooter game, it don't matter how many times you die, you get a do-over. You just get to do it all over again, but now you're a little bit wiser because you know where the enemy is coming from, usually. So you get a do-over. We all want a do-over. Well, Jesus is speaking of a do-over when he speaks about being born of water and the Spirit. There it is again, the Spirit. Water and the Spirit is what gives us new life, and we get a do-over. But in truth, we constantly are given do-overs, aren't we? We truly are. There's not just a second chance with God. God makes us a new people through baptism and his Spirit. Now, the Spirit may bring about that new birth before the baptism. Sometimes that takes place. When someone hears the Word of God and believes, that person is saved. Doesn't have to wait for baptism, but baptism is very important, just as it was for the family of the home of Cornelius when Peter went and proclaimed the word there and they received the Holy Spirit before baptism. And Peter points that out. They've received the Holy Spirit like us. We need to give them baptism. Because Jesus said, to be born again, you must be born of water and the Spirit. So baptism, Jesus tells Nicodemus in a way, because he doesn't speak of it outright at that point, but he and his disciples, Jesus' disciples, have been doing some baptizing around the time that this message takes place to Nicodemus. Water and the Spirit. We receive that and we are given a new birth. We are made part of God's new creation that he is forming even to this day. We are part of it. But you know, we get a reset every day because Luther even says, when you rise in the morning, make the sign of the cross. In other words, remember your baptism. When you rise up, say, make the sign of the cross and say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's the way you were baptized. So we are encouraged to always remember our baptism. And Luther also talks about whenever the old man tries to rise up, well, drown him again in the waters of your baptism. So you see, we get a reset all the time, or a do-over, thankfully, because we know that sin clings to our nature. Just because God has saved us and redeemed us, and by his Spirit makes us holy and sanctifies us, yet we know that according to the flesh, we will continue to sin. Yet we have a Father in heaven who is ready to hear us, ready to hear our confession, and is quick, not slow, quick, in an instant, to forgive you your sins. We don't always need to hear it come from the pastor, but it is good for us to do so. It is affirming. It reassures us, as so does the remembrance of our baptism and taking part in the Holy Supper of our body, Lord's body and blood. The working of God is there, and it is there in this message that God gives Nicodemus through his son. And we hear that message proclaimed again in the gospel lesson when Jesus speaks, in the Acts reading, when we hear Peter proclaiming to those who are standing by about the events on that Pentecost day. We remember what we heard last week, and he continues his message. And what is it that Peter tells them? He tells them about the Father and that Jesus is his Son. He tells them that this Son of the Father is the one whom you crucified. We hear all of that being spoken. But Peter goes on, it was for your benefit. It was for your well-doing. God planned this from the beginning. Even though you handed him over to lawless men, in other words, the Roman soldiers, the Gentiles were considered lawless because they weren't under the old covenant. They weren't part of that covenant that God made with the Jews. You handed them over to lawless men, and he was crucified. But this is for you, for your forgiveness. It is a strong message. It is like a sword, really, that is slicing these sinners to the heart. In fact, it does that to all who hear the word. Because though you and I weren't there yet, I suppose we could say, in a way, that we're responsible. Yet, it is Christ's decision to go to the cross. We didn't make that decision for him. Even when Peter says you handed him over to lawless men, he tells them, but that's God's plan. That was his plan, that you do that. He permitted it. So there we have again Peter talking about the Father and the Son working together. But the good news is that this Jesus whom you crucified has been raised to life. Testing 1, 2. Excuse me, I should have covered my mouth. It didn't go anywhere but here. I hate that when you can't clear your throat. So anyway, our scripture lessons remind us of the truth of the Athanasian Creed that we speak. After all, that creed is nothing more than speaking to us and to one another what scripture speaks concerning the divinity of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the one who carries a bucket filled with water to administer it to those who are thirsty for righteousness. The Holy Spirit comes to each one of us carrying this bucket. It is God's means to give us forgiveness. That kind of goes back into why the Old Testament lesson is so important. You see, we might ask a question, or others might ask the question of us, why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Because it's what God planned for our salvation. Why did God have Moses make a bronze serpent and put it on a pole? Because God said, do that, and they will be saved. We might say, well, why did God have a burning coal touch the lips of Isaiah in order for him to be cleansed? Well, because God made it so. We don't know the answers to such questions. We just know that God says, do this, and it will be so. So God has given the church the means whereby salvation may be extended beyond this family in order to bring in more of those who belong to Christ. The means of grace is what I'm talking about. The water of baptism and communion. These are God's means to grant us once again the assurance of forgiveness, to demonstrate His love to us. Because when it comes down to it, that's what our salvation is all about. God's love. God's plan. God's way of doing it. You know, parents, you had a time when your kids probably said, why do I have to do this? The answer might have been, because I said so. They didn't need to know more than that. We didn't need to know more than that when we were young. When your dad said, because I said so, or your mom said, I said, because I said so, end of discussion. The same way it is, if our parents loved us, Jesus might say, how much more does your Father in heaven love you? We don't get the answers in this life all the time, but as we are known, we are told one day we will know it all, because in heaven all these answers will be given to us. And we won't wonder, but we will rejoice because of God's infinite love and grace. Jesus said it simply, and this is why all of this counts. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall have eternal life. Enough said. Amen. Now may the peace of Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for an ever-growing understanding of the depths of God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge through His Word, that we may glorify Him forever. Let us pray to the Lord. For the missionaries of our church as they go to the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel, that many may hear of God's love in His Son and be saved through faith in Him, let us pray to the Lord. For those who deny the new birth of water and the Spirit to infants and children, that the Lord of hosts would open their eyes and hearts to the fullness of His grace, and these little ones would be hindered no longer from being born again and seeing His kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
in thanksgiving for those who served our nation through military service, and in grateful remembrance of those who gave their lives for us and for the cause of freedom, that we may honor their sacrifice by using our liberty responsibly. For all who travel, that they would be kept safe, for our nation and its blessing, and for aid in protecting and increasing the benefits we have for those who follow us, looking always to You, from whom these benefits come, let us pray to the Lord. For Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knopf, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, and all who suffer in our midst, that the Lord of hosts would uphold them in the truth, that since he is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken, and that he would gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that by Christ's cleansing body and blood on our lips, our guilt may be taken away and our sin atoned for, that we would not be lost, but abide in his holy presence forever. Let us pray to the Lord. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord, in the confession of the only true God, We worship the Trinity in person and the unity and substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. Please rise. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated.
Good morning. I got this right, Gary. I want to call your attention to some announcements that we have on the bulletin. We have coffee and refreshments and fellowship after the service here. And then at 10:30, we'll have our Bible class and Sunday school. I also want to remind you that on June the 6th, we'll have our Friendship Sunday. And maybe Cheryl will tell us a little bit about what's going on there.
That's next Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll come over here
so you can
hear me better.
Okay.
Because you know I'm so quiet.
Yes. We've noticed that.
Okay.
You can do.
It's usually casual Sunday that day when we do Friendship Sunday.
Oh, wait a minute. This is casual Sunday right now.
I know.
Every Sunday's casual Sunday here. That's why I wanted to do, why don't we dress up like, you know, we used to do. That would be different. Bring yourself and bring desserts. We're going to have desserts, yeah.
Where are we going to have the church service? In here?
In the fellowship hall.
No, service is going to be in here.
Oh, in here?
Yes.
Okay, so it's in here. Okay.
There is no theme.
There is no theme. It's spring and summer.
That's it.
You, so we'll just do.
If you want to wear a hat, you can. But not in here unless you're a woman.
No hats.
Just men, no hats. I'm confused. Did you say something about sherry?
I said that, you know, some people are very concerned yet about sharing.
Oh, sharing.
Like,
I thought you said sherry.
Like everybody touching it. And I think that's important.
That's what we had to drink rather than
sharing. Yeah, I thought you were sherry.
No, but we need to stay safe yet. I mean, we do need to stay safe. So we're going to have the individual packs of mayo, mustard, and ketchup. So everybody gets that. Did I forget anything?
I don't know.
Okay, so we're having service in here.
Yes.
So that's okay. So we're having that, and then we'll go
and
over.
No sharing.
And like I said,
no
three
sharing.
Dominoes or board games or whatever you want to play. It'll be fun. It'll be fun and it'll be great. We'll have a good time. And we'll make tea. We might have lemonade.
Yeah, I was gonna make an announcement. I didn't get on the bulletin this time, but last week it was. But Mark and Susan have invited us all over for Memorial Day service. They're gonna have music and all kinds of stuff going on. So it starts at 4:00. And I don't know if everybody knows where their house is, but it's in Wharton. Yeah, there probably is. Anyway, we've made it every year. It's a lot of fun. And Mark gets out his guitar, and he's got some other guys that come out, and he has a little stage set up, and it's a lot of fun. And, of course, there will be dominoes.
Do you know if he's fogging for mosquitoes?
I'm sure they will. other thing I wanted to bring up was that Carolyn plays dominoes over at the Methodist Church on Mondays. I think it's from 1 to 4. Well, the church over there, the fellowship hall is falling down, and so they're going to have to rebuild it. And so she asked me if they could come over here in our fellowship hall. And I talked to Steve about it. He said he didn't have a problem with it. So I guess, has anybody else got a problem with it? It's not going to be for very long, just until they get it finished over there.
It's okay, we lost the fight down there.
Yeah, you will, we can
yeah,
all go.
You certainly
invite.
And I'll be here,
yeah.
If it's so convenient for me, I can just go down there a bunch of times right down.
Okay, anyway, it's going to start on the 16th, so.
14th?
Okay. It's a Monday.
14th is a Monday.
I've got a lot of stuff going on the 16th, so.
So you figured everything else was there, too.
Yeah, right. Okay, is there any announcements? If not, let's conclude with hymn
506.
506.
Hurry.
And so please rise.